Completely Conspicuous, episode 458, March 2nd, 2017. Welcome back to Completely Conspicuous. I'm your host, Jay Kumar. This week, I've got another installment of Driving with Kumar as I discuss the overabundance of entertainment content that we consume. As always, please send any comments, questions, or tremendous compliments to j.kumar@gmail.com. Also, please check out Completely Conspicuous at comconcast.blogspot.com and on Facebook. And you can follow me on Twitter at Coomdog. You can subscribe to the podcast through iTunes. And now, on to Driving with Kumar.
Hey there. Another installment of Driving with Kumar. It's been a while. I honestly can't remember the last time I did it. But I'm coming to you on March 1st. Happy March. With a little mini episode here. It's been a little bit of a rough start to the year in terms of CompCon, just because of scheduling and illnesses and whatnot. I've missed a couple of recording sessions, so looking to get things back on track, and she's set to talk to Brian Salvatore next week to wrap up our epic 20-year look at years in rock, doing 1991, so that should be coming your way next week, hopefully, if all goes well. And the Skype gods are with us. But in the meantime, I wanted to talk today about content overload. And that's basically just, there's just so much stuff out there to consume now. It's impossible to really keep up with everything you want to. You know, speaking from my experience, you know, I watch a fair amount of TV, read books, listen to music, listen to podcasts, and it's just, and then, you know, watch movies, and it's just, increasingly, there's just so many choices. You know, it's a good problem to have, but if you're any kind of a completist, it's, it can be tough sometimes to kind of stay up with everything. I'm just negotiating, I just dropped off my kid at middle school and I'm trying to weave my way out of the congested area here and head on my way to work. But, you know, it's on the one hand, certainly with TV, you know, we've become kind of a binge-watching culture and, you know, and it's a lot easier to do that now because of on-demand. I apologize for the bumpy roads in my town here, as always, and my crappy car making it sound worse. You know, that you can watch, six seasons of a show in one sitting if you feel like not moving for several days, but, you know, my on-the-go lifestyle doesn't allow me to do that, and I think that's a good thing because I'd be like 400 pounds, but, you know, it is kind of cool that you can, you know, just sort of get into a show. You know, I did that early on with Breaking Bad, Mad Men, where I missed the first season. And then they sort of did a marathon right before the second season started. So we, you know, DVR'd everything and watched, you know, whatever it was, 10, 12 episodes over the course of a couple days and then got ready for the next season. Actually, we've been doing it a lot with... We've been watching a lot of shows with our kids. So we just watched... We went through two seasons of The Flash on, I guess it's a CW show. It's, you know, all on Netflix. And then we're watching the show Arrow now, which is, you know, the old DC superhero Green Arrow. You know, that show actually started a few years before The Flash, so it, they actually introduced the Flash character, Barry Allen, on, I think, in season two of Arrow, before he had his superpowers, and then he gets him through this crazy explosion. So we actually saw that episode that kind of set him up, and then, and now we're kind of, you know, back into Arrow stuff, but there's five seasons of that. It's on season five now. Flash is on season three. So it's just, you know, we're kind of cranking through those, you know, in our spare time. And I watch, you know, a number of series, but there are a bunch of things that I've started watching, that I haven't caught up with just because of, you know, get distracted, you get busy, you just can't watch everything. I'm also a sports fan, so I'll watch, you know, I might spend 2 to 3 hours watching a game when I could be watching a show. All that takes away from reading the pile of books on my nightstand, which I've been sitting there for a while. I'm actually reading a book by Joe Hill, who's Stephen King's son, who's a noted author in his own right. It's a book called Nosferatu, which is sort of a horror book about this sort of supernatural killer who's got a fixation with Christmas and little kids. So, but that's like a 600-page book. So, you know, and I only really do my reading right before I go to bed. So, you know, I'm maybe reading 10 to 20 pages a night, and that's not every night that I get to read. So it takes me a while to get through a book, unless I've got, you know, some time off or for a vacation or something, then I'll crank, and I might read two books during that time, but anything in depth takes me a while to get through. It's one of the reasons I didn't really, you know, certainly there are plenty of chances to read comic books again. There's a digital subscription you can get to basically, you know, have everything at your fingertips. But I kind of decided against it because I felt like, when am I going to have the time to read all that stuff, you know? Let alone keep up. I mean, it'd be cool to have access to it, but it's hard enough. You know, I'll pick up a trade pub every so often, which is sort of a collection of comic books of, you know, certain series or whatever. And it takes me forever to get through that just because I don't, you know, the way I sort of divvy up my time is, you know, I don't really read that much during the day, so it's all happening right before I go to bed. And I mean, I read for my day job, and I'm on the computer all day reading stuff online, but I can't sit there and read comic books. So that's a problem if you want to, you know, get a lot of reading done. Music, you know, we've certainly gone over that, you know, on this show many times about how, you know, how much music there is out there to listen to these days. And I've always been a big listener, you know, big music listener since I was, you know, probably in elementary school. Difference now, of course, is there's a lot more, I feel like there's a lot more music being released just because, you know, you're not, it's not just limited to, you know, three or four major labels. You've got indie labels and people can just release stuff on their own online. Streaming services make it easy to listen to stuff without even, you know, paying money for it. I listen to a lot of music because I do my radio show Stuck in the Garage every week, and I'm getting promo copies of new albums from labels and PR firms to check out early, which is very cool. I also buy a fair amount of music, you know, bands that I know I'm not going to get a copy of the album, and I'll pick up, you know, vinyl or you know, occasionally even a CD if it's on sale or something, just to, you know, so I can have the new Japandroids album or something like that. The nice thing is, you know, if it's something that I'm not sure about that I don't already have, I can listen to it ahead of time before I, you know, pay cash money for it or before I go see a band in concert. So it is nice, but man, there was just so much shit. Like, you know, there are albums, you know, it's totally possible to hear just about anything you want to hear nowadays at any time. But, the, you know, once again, it's just sort of, when do you have time to do that? I also, you know, balance that listening with listening to podcasts. And there's so many podcasts now that you can listen to. I mean, and a lot of the ones that I like to listen to, each episode runs in, you know, the not a lot, but several of them, in the 2 to 3 hour range. So that's a big chunk of time. I mean, you know, I'm talking like The Best Show with Tom Sharpling is, you know, usually 3 hours. Listen to No Agenda, that's 2 to 3 hours, but mostly 3 hours. Goddamn Dave Hill Show is 2 hours. So I listen to this stuff at work mainly. So it's kind of helping me pass the day while I'm working, but still it's a lot of audio time. And then there are a lot of podcasts that I sort of record. You know, I still use the iTunes podcast gatherer, and you know, there's a lot of stuff that I won't listen to. I'll have it on my iPod or on my computer, and I won't listen to it for months at a time, just because, you know, for whatever reason I can get to it. And then there's certainly podcasts that I've wanted to check out but just haven't gotten around to it. And then, you know, like a few months ago, a couple of buddies of mine at work have been talking about the You Talking You Too to Me podcast, which was done a few years ago by Scott Aukerman of Comedy Bang Bang and Adam Scott, the actor, where they basically kind of nerd out over U2 albums in ridiculous detail, and, you know, obviously going off on silly tangents for, you know, and those shows were all like 2 hours or plus. And it actually, you know, you don't have to be a U2 fan to enjoy it, because it's actually makes fun of U2 a lot while also, you know, drilling down into, you know, how they put their records together and the history of the band. It's hilarious. I actually like cranked through that, I guess around late last year, around Christmas. I think I was done right around Christmas time. But yeah, there's, I think, 22 episodes, culminating with them actually getting the band in the studio and doing an episode with them, which was actually hilarious. So that was, you know, something that I, you know, had heard about and then just sort of dismissed out of hand, because I was like, I'm not really that into U2 anymore. But it actually, you know, at the urging of my coworkers, you know, I'm glad I checked it out, because it was, you know, hilarious, and kind of got me back into Comedy Bang Bang too. So, which is a great show, and just another show that there's, you know, 2 episodes a week. It's hard to keep up. You know, WTF, I listen to that pretty regularly, but I'm, you know, kind of about a month and a half behind on that, and he does 2 episodes a week. So, you know, it's just, there's just a lot out there. Now, you know, is it better? Is the alternative better? You know, the 1980s alternative, where, you know, you get one thing a week. I mean, you can still watch shows that way. If you're watching a new show, like, I would say Walking Dead, although I fell behind on that too, but, you know, we're week to week, you know, you're caught up, so you're just waiting for a new episode. It's kind of the old school way of doing things. You know, it kind of builds up that suspense, and then you give the excitement, you know, watching something live, which I rarely do nowadays, just because everything's on demand. You know, we went all streaming at home, geez, almost a year ago now, and, you know, we had DirecTV for years, and we decided, you know, we were spending $150 a month on it, and we wanted to save some money, so we canceled that and just went with the Roku box and streaming services, and we're paying about half of what we were paying before. Limitations, of course, are sports, you know, live sports. You can still get, like, I get, I'm a hockey fan, so I get the NHL.tv package, which allows you to get most games. You can't get the local games, so, you know, fortunately for me, I'm not a fan of the local team, the Boston Bruins. I'm a fan of the Toronto Maple Leafs, so I can see pretty much every game of theirs that I want to see, as well as a ton of others. But because of blackout restrictions, you know, it's you can't get the local. It's a channel called NESN, the New England Sports Network, that shows all the Bruins and Red Sox games. We can't get that streaming wise. You have to have a cable provider or DirecTV to get that, which is kind of a bummer. But again, I'm not a Red Sox fan, so it's more for the rest of my family who likes those teams, but they're not fanatics, so you know, it's not that big a deal. So we've survived, but it's you know, now there's a lot more binge watching. Both my daughters actually have gotten into, you know, just sort of watching older shows. Like, my oldest is actually watching Scrubs now, which was a show that I watched pretty much all the way through its run. And she had heard about it. I forget how. I think she saw something with, like, one of the guys from Scrubs in it. And then my wife had mentioned it to her, and so now she's watching Scrubs, and I saw her giggling at it last night, so that was kind of cool. But she's watched entire runs of Gilmore Girls, Gossip Girl, Glee, you know, she is definitely loving the on-demand stuff. The younger one's been watching some stuff, Glee, Supergirl, stuff like that, so, you know, it's, and they watched, you know, kind of the silly Nickelodeon shows and Disney shows that they like too. So they definitely have maximized the capabilities of you know, what we have through streaming. But you know, I have to write things down sometimes just to remember what I want to watch, because there's just so much shit that's out there. You know, we've got the HBO now. Like, you know, there are different series that I keep up with. But you know, then we're like, occasionally I'll want to watch a movie or something, and I'll just kind of search around on HBO or through Hulu or something like that, and see what's up there. And I don't go to the theater that often anymore to see movies. I just you know, part of me is it's kind of a pain in the ass. Jeez, help yourself here. This cab just cut me off. I should give you the finger now, sir. It's expensive, and, you know, frankly, like, it's annoying to deal with, like, other people in the theater. I, you know, definitely have become a kind of, I guess, a cranky old man in my old age, and, you know, prefer to watch stuff in my living room. That kind of goes for sporting events, too. But, you know, it's definitely a challenge to get to the... I suppose I could make time and go to the movies if I want to. I don't really care if I go by myself. I've actually entertained the idea of going to see Logan, which is the new movie about Wolverine, which is actually rated R. It's getting some good early reviews. The trailers look pretty good. Occasionally, I'll take, like, the kids to see a Marvel movie like Captain America or The Avengers or something like that. But, you know, more often than not, I'm watching movies that came out like a year ago or more on, you know, on cable or streaming or whatever. So like the Oscars just happened last weekend, and I don't think I saw a single movie that was nominated for anything at the Oscars, which isn't necessarily it's not an aberration from other years, but it was definitely noticeable. You know, and I do see them eventually. It's just, you know, it takes a while, I guess. But it's definitely a challenge to keep up with all this stuff, and I guess all you can do is sort of pick and choose, and you know, you can be a completist about this stuff, but it's getting increasingly more difficult to be, you know, to see everything that you want to see necessarily. It's possible, but it's just, there's just not enough time in the day. And I, you know, in addition to, you know, watching stuff and doing, you know, you don't want to be just sitting there like consuming content all the time. You've got, you know, just, you have to live your life too. So, you know, if I, you know, if I go out to see a band, or if I'm, you know, meeting friends out, or, you know, doing something with the family, you know, I'm gonna miss stuff. We're actually planning a 2-week vacation to Europe this summer, and I'm just thinking, like, what of all the stuff I'm gonna miss, you know, 2 weeks of you know, granted it's gonna be in June and July, so there isn't as maybe as much stuff coming out and new programming or whatever, although really it doesn't matter anymore because there's always new shows debuting. But we're going to come home, and there's going to be like a shitload of stuff to watch and listen to. But that's just the way it goes. Although, I guess, you know, if we get rooms with Wi-Fi, we could still watch some stuff. But, you know, we're going to be out doing stuff. We're not going to be sitting there watching TV or movies. So that should be interesting. But I've now just arrived to work. And I'm going to actually go and do my job. So I will catch up with you later.
You are listening to Completely Conspicuous with Jay Kumar.
And I'm back. Heading out of work. It's 5 o'clock. And I figured I would just gonna wrap up this little discussion that I've been having with myself and you, talking about content overload. You know, I don't know if there's any kind of solution to it, and really it's kind of like it's totally a first world problem, right? I mean, it's not necessarily something that you know, I'd consider a crisis or anything. It's, you know, if anything, it just it makes me want to be a little more efficient with my time and how I use my time in getting things done. Because in addition to all this consuming of entertainment, and there's also, like I mentioned, you know, going to work during the day, although I'm able to listen to a lot of podcasts and music there, but you know, I've also, when I'm not at work, I do a fair amount of freelance work, and obviously stuff like this where I don't get paid, but I still deliver it fairly regularly. So, you know, making the most of your time is kind of important to me, and it doesn't always happen the way I'd plan or where I'd like it to, but I do my best and I meet most of the deadlines I set for myself. you know, and a lot of times you can do two things at once. Like, you know, I'll watch a hockey game while I'm, you know, putting together a playlist for my radio show, or you know, coming up with ideas for the podcast, or uploading the podcast. I'll definitely do that while I'm watching TV, or, you know, or doing something else. So, you know, try to make the most of it. You know, you also, try to, you know, spend time with your family and, you know, do fun things like that. You know, I mentioned the Europe trip coming up. That's pretty much going to be 2 weeks of, you know, not watching TV or, you know, listening to a whole lot of podcasts. And that's okay because really the way everything's set up now, it's all on demand for the most part. So I can go back and catch up, you know, or, you know, I'll be, like I think I mentioned earlier, I'll be that much further behind. But, you know, you just sort of have to pick and choose, you know, which things do you want to watch or listen to the most, and then you go from there. I find myself often, especially with podcasts, where, you know, I may have, you know, downloaded things and just not listened to them. I might go back to something that came out 6 months ago because it's something I, you know, do want to check out. I just never had the chance to, you know, and I'll go back and I'll just listen to it 6 months later. It doesn't really, you know, it's not like a sporting event necessarily where, you know, if I miss a Maple Leafs game, like say tonight, they're playing tonight at 10:30 and I'm going to be actually out playing hockey myself, so I'm not going to have time to watch it. And I just don't have the time to sort of say, well, I'll watch it on demand tomorrow. It's just, there's too much going on. So, and I'll already know the result by then. So, you know, I'll watch the highlights just to see what happened, but I'm not that much of a completist that I need to see every second of every game, you know, after the fact. I'd like to watch all the games when I can, but I'm not going to beat myself up if I can't. So yeah, it's picking and choosing, and you know, just making the most of the time you have. And certainly, you know, you can't spend your whole life consuming entertainment. Some people try to. You know, I remember when Stranger Things came out last summer, you know, I knew people that, or Daredevil or a couple of those other series that are like 10, 13 episodes, I know people that just banged it all out one sitting. But those are people who don't have families, don't have other responsibilities. They're single. You know, or they have a willing partner who will sit and watch stuff with them. And, you know, I watch a lot of stuff with my wife. She's even gotten into the superhero stuff, which is kind of surprising because that's usually not her bag. But she actually has enjoyed watching the Flash and the Arrow series. But, you know, it might take me a couple of months to watch a 13 episode run, depending on, you know, what's going on. Actually, I think with Stranger Things, as I got into it, I think it took me like probably a week to watch I think it was 13 episodes, just because I, you know, was getting wrapped up in it. And I remember there was one weekend in August, I want to say, where I watched like 5 or 6 of the episodes in one day. Just throughout the day, I just kept kind of putting it on. Usually that doesn't happen. You know, there are other shows that takes me a lot longer to watch, or that I'll peck away at. But, you know, it's nice to be able to, you know, go back to it, you know. Just like with a podcast, you can pause it, and you know, if you're, 50 minutes into a 2-hour show, and you got to go do something, you pause it, you come back later. You might have to come back 2 or 3 times before you get the thing done, but that's just, you know, that's the convenience of on-demand programming, right? I mean, it's just, you can just pick and choose when you want to watch it or listen to it. So that's a good thing. It does get a little overwhelming knowing everything that, you know, you kind of say like, oh man, I want to watch this, but I haven't seen this show. I mean, there are certain iconic shows that I've never watched a single episode of. trying to think of some for you now. Well, I mean, I don't know how iconic it is, but like Sons of Anarchy, you know, I know a lot of people that watched it. I just never got into it. You know, Fringe, you know, there are a lot of shows that I just, you know, all the Showtime shows, I've never seen Homeland. Dexter, I think I saw sort of the cleaned up CBS versions that they showed one year during the writer's strike. But I never, you know, we don't have Showtime, so I just don't see those shows. Although, I think, you know, now a bunch of them are on Netflix or maybe even Hulu. So I could go back and watch them. And, you know, and I will, like, actually, like, one thing I wanted to do, I like going back and watching older stuff that I've already seen. Like, you know, there's a Twin Peaks actually is coming out on Showtime, which is kind of a bummer because I don't have it. But, it kind of got me interested in rewatching Twin Peaks, which, you know, that first season, amazing first season, came out in 1990, and people were like, I was watching it every week. People were really hooked on it because it was so different from anything else that was on. So I kind of want to go back and watch. I think there's two seasons of Twin Peaks, and then there's the movie that Lynch did. You know, I kind of want to do that, but, you know, it's just like, when do I have the time to do that? But, you know, you make time, just like anything else. So, you know, I guess it's just, it's portion control, right? Just like when you're, you know, just like with eating where, you know, in our society, you could conceivably buy and eat as much food as you want to at any given time. And sometimes your eyes are bigger than your stomach. It's the same thing with content, with TV programming. You know, you could conceivably watch, you know, five seasons of a show in a weekend, but probably not good for your health. You're probably going to be glued to a couch, not doing much else. Shutting yourself off from society, so not advisable, unless you're sick. You know, I think I was talking to somebody the other day who said, you know, it's almost like, you know, you need to get pneumonia or something and just be able to just, you know, have a week where you stay home and watch, you know, catch up on all your stuff. It's kind of like, you know, where a lot of people are at right now. But, you know, I'd rather stay healthy and just peck away at the various shows I want to watch, and, you know, just do it that way. It's, you know, you're never gonna be able to see everything you want to see or hear everything you want to hear. It's not gonna happen. But you just have to, you know, pick the things you think are gonna be the most entertaining and you know, watch them when you can or listen to them when you can. And, you know, I think that's, it's just like everything in moderation. So, you know, if you do too much of something, you know, if you're a big Law and Order fan, there's, what, 20 seasons of Law and Order, of the original show out there, something like that. I mean, I could imagine, not to mention it's on reruns all the time, but, you know, you could sit there and watch all those, but I don't know. I mean, maybe if you make it like a fun little thing where you watch one a week or one a every other day or something, you know, it won't be so, so, you know, crazy. You know, you kind of meter it out almost, but, some people definitely, you know, put the binge in binge watching and just have to kind of watch everything all at once. There's also the sort of, empty feeling you get when you catch up to a show. You know, you watch three seasons of a show in, you know, over a short period of time, and then you've just got to wait for the show to come back because it's, you know, it's in its off season or whatever. So that's kind of a bummer too, because you're mainlining this show for, you know, you've always got another episode, and then all of a sudden you've watched them all. And especially if there's sort of a big cliffhanger at the end of one season, you're just sitting there, now you gotta wait like everybody else. So, That's going to happen. But, I think we kind of, instead of dwelling on the negative of, oh man, now I have to wait. I mean, I think it's kind of cool that you're able to watch everything, when you want to. Think about, I think back to when I was growing up, everything was on, sort of there was a fall season. So, TV shows would come on in September. There'd be 22 episodes. They'd run pretty much every week until, May or so. And then you're into summer reruns. And they would just show, sort of the same shows from the fall, or a selection of them until the new season started in September. And that was that. And you didn't watch them again. You went out and did something. But, and there was, obviously a big syndication was a big thing. It still is. I watched a lot of episodes of shows like MASH and Barney Miller and things like that, half hour kind of sitcoms, WKRP, in syndication, in reruns, Happy Days. I mean, I think, growing up in the 70s and 80s, you spent a lot of time watching reruns of old shows that you weren't necessarily old enough to see, when it ran the first time or was on too late or something like that. So, it's a whole different thing. And you didn't have access to old seasons. You couldn't say, oh, I want to watch, that episode where, Hawkeye, had that great zinger against, whatever. You couldn't just say, oh, from season 2, episode 4. First of all, there weren't listings of the seasons and episodes. You didn't have episode guides, so you had to kind of guess. And then second of all, you couldn't get the stuff anyways because it wasn't necessarily, you'd have to hope it shows up in a rerun or in syndication. But now everything's at your fingertips, You can watch it on your phone. You can watch it on any device. You can watch it, we watch it also in our living room through the Roku box. So, watch it on YouTube. A lot of shows are on YouTube now. So, it's fun, but it's also, when we weren't watching stuff, and I watched a lot of TV when I was a kid. I'm not going to pretend like I didn't. Definitely a child of television, but they also spent a lot of time going outside and playing street hockey or baseball or something. So, I try to balance that stuff now, so I'm not just watching shit all the time because, goes back to the old melting into the couch scenario. So, I don't know. I can see advantages to both. I mean, obviously, I'm much happier being able to hear any album I want pretty much any time I want, and see any show I want almost any time I want. So, it's a good thing. Occasionally overwhelming, but all in all, it's good. So I think I'm gonna wrap this up now. Just a little entremont in between regular episodes. I'm sitting here in traffic on this Wednesday night, driving home from work. Sitting here on Route 62 in Danvers, Massachusetts. Things are moving slowly, but this has been another installment of Driving with Kumar. And I will catch up to you next week. Take it easy.
That wraps up episode 458 of Completely Conspicuous. Thanks again for listening, and I hope you join me next time. In the meantime, check out BFF.fm every Friday at 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 Pacific, to hear my radio show, Stuck in the Garage. Check out Mixcloud.com/CoomDog to listen to archive shows. Jay Breitling produced the opening and closing themes of this show. Voiceover work is courtesy of James Grelian. Completely Conspicuous is a Tan God production.